Hey guys, it's Kyle Johnson, and you're listening to The Middle Podcast. I'm super stoked. It's a beautiful day outside, hustling hard today. And today we're talking with the one and only PJ Eschenfelter. He is a hustler, a big Gary Vee fan like me. We're good friends, and he's got a lot to share. Honestly, he's kind of a mentor for me in that he really he doesn't hold back very often when I'm complaining about something. He says, just get over it, man. You got to get over it. You got to move on. You got to hustle. You got to keep going. And it's encouraging to me. Sometimes a little hard. I want some, I want a little more empathy, but you know what? It's what I need. It's what I need. So I'm stoked to bring him onto the podcast and give you guys some amazing content. So listen closely. This one's going to blow your minds. Here's me with Mr. PJ Eschenfelter. So PJ, tell me a little bit about yourself.
So my name is PJ Eschenfelter.
What's PJ stand for?
Paul Jr.
Oh, okay.
Which I hate. So
okay.
I like PJ. I just didn't like being a junior growing up. So
okay.
I'm an oldest of four kids, so I don't like to be under anybody.
You're not junior. You're the top.
I'm the top
dog. Yeah.
That's right. So I am, more of like an entrepreneurial mindset, but I also have a family. I started a family really young. So when you look at my career, when it comes to work-wise, I've tried to have a steady job, but always do stuff on the side to feed that entrepreneurial spirit. Mm-hmm. And so I get to do that a lot, which is fun. I work in a great place and get to spend time with my family. I really care about people, and I care about journeys of people. I think that a lot of people feel like they have to go about things alone, and they just don't. And so I spend a lot of time talking with people, working with people. I'm very involved in our church and very involved in my wife's family and my family. I get to be the fun uncle, which is fun, and have a good time. So I've been married for almost 17 years. I have a 16-year-old son, and he's a lot of fun. I have a good time. He's at that phase where he's got his driver's license, and he's driving, and he's got a job, and just brings back a lot of good memories for me personally.
Yeah,
that first time driving and having some money where you could just do something.
Do something.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so just have a lot of fun doing that, and then it wraps me up.
Cool. So, you have a day job. And you have a side hustle right now. What's your side hustle?
So my side hustle is digital marketing, okay. Working with small companies and also my company. I do a bunch of different things. And one thing I'm working on now, I just shot a commercial building with the drone.
Sweet.
So I get to start exploring that realm, which I really enjoy. So it's sort of a mix of I get to fly something with a motor. And
yeah, that's fun.
Also do digital video and pictures, which is fun. And then we work with small businesses that, again, I think the concept still exists where they're at that point where they can't do it by themselves anymore, mm-hmm. but they also don't need a huge partnership. They just need someone to walk them through some things.
Yeah.
So we can do that at a very inexpensive rate and help them grow. And then when they start seeing results, then we get to grow along with them.
Yeah. Very cool. So it's interesting to me that just how life flows, because we had a conversation at one of our favorite places, Chipotle, about, and you kind of brought it up, and I was thinking about it as well, is this concept of the middle, which kind of spurred on this whole podcast idea. And the concept of at the beginning, things are all, sunshine and roses, and everybody's like, hey, great job, you're starting something, that's really cool. And a lot of times on the exit or graduation at school and those types of things, it's the same concept. And we get all excited about that, but as you were saying before we started, sometimes there's this thing called the middle, and it's not always sunshine and roses. So why don't you, if you want to like expand on that a little bit, and I'd be interested to hear your perspective, and then I have another thought on how that kind of ties into something else. So
sure. So it's funny that thanks for giving me some of the credit with your idea.
Absolutely,
but like I posted that before, ideas, actions, really are the ones that make the ideas work. So I think that's awesome. And when I saw it, I was more excited than anything, you know, and never been, you know, that's why we have a good relationship. Never been that like, well, here's an idea, and if someone else took it and ran with it or whatever, vice versa, yeah. You know, isn't like, oh man, you know, offended or anything. Right. So it's really good.
That's good.
Yeah. So the idea is the middle, and the middle is something I think people are aware of and people understand, but they don't process and embrace. And then a lot of times that's where failure happens. I think if you look at, you know, anything from marriages and divorce rates to jobs to working out to anything, a lot of times you'll see most of the failures are in that middle area, you know, and like we talked before, there's not too many things out there that celebrate the middle. I don't know too many cars that say, congratulations, you're a sophomore. Or yeah. Congratulations, you're a junior. They're just not. Congratulations, you made it to college. You're accepted. Congratulations, you're graduating. Congratulations, you got the new job. Congratulations, you're retiring.
Yeah.
But nothing says, hey, congratulations, it's your seventh year. Yeah. No one says that. You know? And yeah. So I think that's the issue. When you look at marriages even and relationships, you know, you know, your girlfriend when you're dating, and when you get married, you celebrate that first year. You celebrate a month in or 2 months in or 6 months in. But there's so many couples I talk to that are like, hey, it's your seventh year anniversary. What are you doing? Nah, we're just going to go to Applebee's. You know, or we stayed at home and watched Netflix.
Yeah.
You know, but, oh, it's your 10th one, or it's your sixth. My wife's grandparents just celebrate their 65th wedding anniversary. And it was humongous. I think there's more people there than at their wedding, yeah. You know. So people celebrate that stuff. But I guarantee that on their, you know, 37th anniversary or their 22nd anniversary, people – they didn't have a big buffet. Party. Yeah, they just went to had Chinese and went home, you know. So I think that it's very – you have to be very aware that there's this middle and that people embrace it and deal with it. But also that people fail there. You know, that's where they fail. That's where they have issues. And so I like to always encourage and talk to people about the middle. And I'll be honest, sometimes people don't want to talk about the middle if they haven't experienced it because they don't know what it is. You know, they're all excited to go to college. And you can be excited to go to college. And the entire time in college, you can be excited. But there's going to be a part there in the middle where it gets really hard. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like you know where you're going or what you're doing. You maybe lose vision, or maybe you just struggle with what's the end game here.
Yeah.
And then that's when it sucks. And then that's when all these other doubting questions start coming in.
You're second-guessing your decision and all that stuff.
Yeah. Correct. And it's hard to call your mom or dad or your friends because they all say the same cliche things. Well, you just got to push through. You got to, you know, you just got to stay focused. You know, well, I know I got to stay focused because I stayed focused to get here, and I know if I stay focused to get to the end. But right now, I'm curled up in a ball crying on my bed because my chemistry test just beat the crap out of me.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I need chemistry when I'm going to be a teacher of third graders. Like, what is going on? And so it was this whole process. And so I think if there was a way to help people understand and celebrate that, and understand that that's what makes them stronger and that's what makes them succeed, I have this vision that people can then endure longer.
So it's interesting to me because I think there's a good thing about celebrating the beginning and the end of accomplishing something. Are you saying we should celebrate in the middle or more of just understand that this is going to happen and, like you said, embrace it? Where's that line at, I guess?
That is a great question. So I don't think that celebrating the middle or the beginning and the end is a bad thing. I think you want to get people motivated. But imagine you're running a marathon, right? And I'm not a runner. If you saw me on a picture, you would not envision me as a runner. But imagine you're halfway through the marathon, there were no water cups. There were no people clapping. There were no bananas to keep you going. There was just this long stretch. And they have these type of marathons in the desert. They have these like endurance marathons where you run miles and miles. And
sounds horrible.
Yeah, exactly. Where it's so hot that you have to be careful that your shoes don't start melting and stuff, you know. And there's no one out there. And the reason people don't do those is because there's a huge stretch where you have nobody with you. Mm-hmm. When I took a friend out to Boston, he ran the Boston Marathon and he qualified. It was an awesome experience. I'm not a runner and I almost became a runner just by experiencing Boston. But he even said there's a part halfway through the Boston Marathon that you run through a girls' college, and they all line up purposely every race to cheer on the runners. And he even said he puffed up his chest a little bit and probably ran a little bit quicker going through there. And that's sort of symbolism for that middle part.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't the beginning of the race where you're all excited. You don't know what's going on. That was the middle where you're really struggling. It's, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours in. And I was like, wow, I still got another hour and a half or plus, depending on how fast you are. And so you start looking at that and say, why would someone start getting more encouraged? Because they're in the middle. This is tough because people were there with them. So to answer your question, another part, then I think it would be interesting to have a humongous party for your child when they're a sophomore in high school. Or they're a junior high. You finished your sophomore year. Like, imagine if people had this humongous party for them when they finished their sophomore year, right?
Yeah.
They would give them the motivation and encouragement to go on. Or if there was a way to celebrate entrepreneurs who are in that middle stretch, that not the first year, you know, that like 2 to 4 year stretch where it's, people aren't excited about you anymore because you've been around for a little while.
Yeah.
And now you're starting to how to retain customers, how to get new customers, how do I expand? What challenges I'm facing I didn't know about, you know, and there's that stretch. Imagine if we had a way to celebrate those, you probably would see better success rates, I think, of businesses that didn't fail because they got motivated and they got encouraged. And and so I think that's where a lot of middles could be a lot more successful if people were celebrated.
So this concept of the middle isn't solely ours. Seth Godin, I'm sure you've read plenty of his stuff, has a book called The Dip, and it's the same concept where you're up, you're up high on the top of the mountain, and you start going, and you get to the dip, and that's where most people jump out, whether it's in the stock market, and the stock market goes down, and like fools, they jump out when it's cheap instead of buying more while it's on sale, but or in business, like he talks about that, like you just said, where people jump out. They say, this is too tough. I'm going to quit my job. This is too hard. I'm going to close business down. Or they start making dumb mistakes where, you know, cash is tight. Let's go take out a massive loan or something like that. And it just kills them in the dip. And he has a whole book on how to push through that, endure through, and realize that on the other side is that's where everybody's at. And another conversation I heard on another podcast were a franchisor who had, I don't know, 30 franchisees. And he said they paid attention to the statistics that it took 7 years of somebody opening one of their franchises to really become steadily successful, like 7 years. And he said, oftentimes about 3 years in is when the ones that couldn't make it jump out. I'm like, there it is. There's the middle. There's the dip where it, the excitement's gone. I'm working with a company that launched an app and there's a bunch of excitement for 6 months. And now there's user complaints because it's not working perfectly and stuff like that. It's the middle. It's not perfect. And you have to somehow say, okay, I expected this. Let's adjust, let's adapt, and let's keep climbing because, you know, the people that are on the top of the mountain didn't fall there. They climbed there. So very, very, very interesting stuff to me. Another example of this in my life is I spent a year in Argentina a year, right after high school, and same thing, whole bunch of, we go to the airport, it's all this stuff, and about halfway through, there's a break. It was summer in Argentina, but winter up here, and everybody goes home. Well, most people went home. We had like 50 or 60 of us Americans down there in Argentina, and everybody goes home for vacation. And I think 10, maybe 12 people didn't come back.
Wow.
They left.
Wow.
And my dad and my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, they came down and we had conversations of, well, I'm saying this is tough. I don't like this. I'm fine with the language, whatever, but there are a lot of things that I just didn't like. And I was pretty close to saying, I'm not going to do this anymore. You just buy me a plane ticket. I'll fly back with you. And it was my dad's conversation of saying, how are you going to feel in 6 months when everybody else comes home and they went through the whole thing and you left? What's that going to make you feel like? And I, that was the question. I said, I know I'm going to feel like dirt. I'm going to feel like I failed. I'm going to feel like I gave up. I quit too early. And I didn't like that experience at all. There were some good things, some really good things. I made some good friends down there. But, man, it was hard. But now, looking back at it, I'd do it all over again. I'd do it all over again. And knowing that there would be a middle, a point in time where this is going to suck and I'm going to want to go home. I miss my family. I'm, you know, on the other side of the globe, all this stuff. Knowing that that's coming, I think there's that hope and that light at the end of the tunnel that, man, I'd do it again.
Right. That's awesome. That's awesome. I think as you're talking, I'm thinking of all these different examples in life. And as I'm thinking, like, there is no way to ever get anywhere without enduring the middle. You just can't. Even if you look at a monster company like Facebook, they went through a dip. They went through a middle where people were like, oh, man, you got to sell your Facebook stock.
Yeah.
You got to get rid of it because that thing, you know, people aren't using it anymore. It's just for moms and that's it. And then, you know, now you look at them. And there's so many examples of that. And I think of also the investor Warren Buffett said, when people are running away, that's when I run towards a company. And so someone who takes advantage of even the middle, as people are bailing, he steps in and says, okay, how can I use this to my advantage? And so it's just this endurance thing. And I also thought about when you said Brazil and going down and traveling, I was thinking of the mountain, you said people don't fall to the top. And I don't think there's ever been a mountain I've ever climbed where halfway through I'm like, oh, this is just the best thing ever. You are hurting so bad or sweating or can't breathe. But man, when you get to that top, it is such the best feeling in the world. I don't think you would have that feeling if it was easy.
Right.
You know?
You took the escalator or the whatever, you know, you got to the top without putting any effort in.
Right.
Yeah. It feels like you stole it.
Right. Last July, we went to out west. We went to the Grand Canyon. We went to Arches National Park. We went to Colorado. We did a bunch of stuff. And in the Grand Canyon, if you've ever been, you start at the top. It's a weird concept. You drive up to the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
It is massive. It's beautiful. It's so hard to fathom. Well, then one day we said, all right, we're going to walk down. And we walked a mile down. And then you turn around and look back up, and you're like, I got to go back up. I got to go back up. And, yeah, I stopped a couple times. Again, I'm not a runner. You know that?
Yeah.
Someone who, like, wants to go climb mountains. But, man, when you get back to the top, it was amazing. But I'll tell you this one story that my wife and I still talk about this day, is you can walk all the way to the bottom of the Grand Canyon and go camping. And they recommend that you do it in 2 days because it takes about 6 to 8 hours, even 12, depending on your capabilities, get to the bottom.
Wow.
So they said, don't do it one day because it'll take you twice as long to get back. So if it's 6 hours down, 12 hours back, it's an 18-hour day of you just walking and trying. So you walk all the way down the bottom. You can camp and come back. And we didn't do that. But we were coming back up the trail after a mile hike down. And there was a group of guys coming up. And I said, hey, how are you guys doing? Like, oh, we're doing great. We went down last night. We camped. And we started at 6 o'clock this morning. I said, oh, that's awesome. They've been walking at this point probably for about 4 or 5 hours. And they're young guys in good shape. And they sat down and we sat down and the guy next to me said, of all the views today, this is the best view I've seen today. And this guy started at the bottom of the Grand Canyon, you know? And so my wife and I are like, imagine that. Someone worked so hard to get to the bottom and then worked hard to get to the top, realizing, man, I could have just enjoyed the view, like right here at the top.
Yeah.
So it's all this work and you realize there has to be a middle or you just don't appreciate it.
Yeah.
You just don't appreciate getting to a certain point. So it's a lot of fun.
The funny thing is, and we talked about this a little bit before we hit record, is that concept that, man, if you hear about it, you hear about, oh yeah, it's not always perfect, but it's not, I don't think it's until you actually go through something that you really grasp like the understanding of that.
Mm-hmm.
When you're running a business, in your marriage, 7 years in, it's usually that kind of like shaky period. And, you know, and there's the middle to everything. And you hear about it, but it's not until you experience that tough part, until you're halfway through. And I think the thing about it is once you get to the halfway point, you know, or whatever, 40, 60%, whatever it is, the middle, and you realize, man, I'm tired from the journey I've just gone through, and I have to do it all over again because I'm only halfway.
Right.
I experienced that big time, you know, running J2 for 6-7 years, mm-hmm. you know, and then we're getting to that point where, man, I felt like we had some serious momentum and climbing. And then the middle, I'm in the middle of that journey of now stepping into a different role, running a different company, and implementing some of the same things that we did back, you know, back at the other company, and saying, okay, I've got to do this again, because I know it worked then, but it's tough, man. It's not easy knowing that I got to go through part of that journey again.
Mm-hmm. I think also too, you have to be strong as well, because in the beginning, when you started this other business, you stepped away from J2 and started Zip Printing, you know, people were excited for you. Oh, you're going to do printing? That's awesome. Even if they had no idea what printing was or anything all entailed or, you know, all that, they were excited for you. But now here you are. How many years in are you now?
We're like 14 months.
14 months in.
Yeah, something like that.
And how many people call you and say, hey, man, congratulations, you're 14 months
Nobody.
In. Nobody. Because now you're here, you're at the middle. Now, years from now, when you're wrapping up your businesses, let's say, or you're handing them off to your children or whatever it is, and you're ready to ride off into the sunset, whatever that looks like for you, people will be there again. They're going to have this humongous party.
Yeah.
You know, people are like, oh, congratulations, you did such a great job. Like, so you have to be careful that, one, you don't get frustrated at them, that they weren't there, because people just don't think that way.
Right.
They don't think, man, Kyle's 14 months in, or Kyle's 2 years in. I should check in and see how he's doing, you know, what's going on and what are the challenges he's having. And I think that's why you and I have some great conversations, because we do that. And I feel like that's where other people get confused, but at the same time they get hopefully motivated when we talk to prepare them for that middle. You know, at least let them know it's coming. That way it's not such a shock of, man, I did not know that, you know, I had to pay all these taxes and I have to hire an employee, but can't necessarily afford it yet, or, you know, but I need them to generate more sales, and all these questions you start asking yourself. And, and then, you know, for me, I'm definitely a shiny syndrome, so I'm like, okay, I'm 14 months in, but that other thing looks great because that's new and I want to go after that.
Right.
And so that's,
because you're not, nobody else is celebrating it, but you're not as well.
Correct.
And that's what I came to my mind is this concept that, that's why a lot of people do this, you know, they chase shiny objects and and entrepreneurs, it's new businesses, and you see people that, I mean, that's why a 2-year lease on a vehicle works so well, because after 2 years, I'm kind of bored of this car, let's go get a new one.
Right.
Why do you think I buy all these new Apple products?
What did Apple say? I think 18 months is the average iPhone owner.
Yeah.
You know, that's a $1,000 iPhone, and every 18 months people are saying, I need another one.
Yeah.
I need the new one.
Because after a while, they're, man, I'm bored of this.
Right. Right.
It's, I mean, I 100% feel that and see that. And but the nice thing is when you recognize it, you can adjust and change your attitude. That's your decision to say, this is the middle, whatever it is. If it's as petty as, do I have the latest iPhone, or as deep as, this is my marriage and my family on the line. And recognizing that and making the decision in your own life to adjust accordingly.
That's right. I think that's a good word too, that the middle is different for everybody. Sometimes people are very mature or very experienced in something, so if they go to start another one, you know, the middle for them might be delayed longer, you know. Or if it's brand new, that middle might come in 2 months.
Yeah.
You know, so I think the middle is different for everybody, but just knowing it's there, or knowing that acknowledging it helps. And then if people, again, the overall vision, if people could be next to each other during that, I think then that helps the process and the overall endurance of that. You know, you cheer, you run through a girls' college in the middle of a marathon.
Yeah.
You feel pretty good after that.
Yeah.
There's even guys who stop and kiss the girls.
Wow.
And, I mean, it's just a big ordeal, you know.
Wow.
But, again, that's just it's a really good vision and example of how the middle could really help somebody continue on. So they also have a hill called Heartbreak Hill, I think it's called, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's this hill. It's a little bit steeper than most, because you're coming into Boston, and a lot of people quit at that point too. So it's almost another symbol of, like, here's a hard part.
Yeah.
And you know it's coming. Everyone knows it's coming. You can read about it. There's blogs on it. How to handle it, how to train for it, how to run it, how to do all this stuff. And yet, person after person after person who are way better shape than me quit on that hill. Even the elites, if they get to that hill and they're not doing a certain time after the hill, they just stop and they're done, because there's no way they can catch up to the rest of everybody else. And it's interesting to see that. So even they know it's coming. They prepare for it. They train for it. but it's so hard to push through it.
Wow. That's cool. And that's what I got. I feel like the idea, the concept of the middle and the dip and having someone that's, you know, a little bit farther ahead than you along the journey to be able to kind of just bounce stuff off of them, having mm-hmm. somebody there with you, no matter what it is, you know, mm-hmm. if you're going through an issue with your marriage, having a buddy or pastor or somebody, if you're struggling through running a business, having another business owner to talk to, even if they're in the same boat and you say, hey, this sucks. And he says, yeah, I know. So if, okay, that's good. I'm not the only one.
Right.
But having that person there alongside of you and then just keep climbing.
Just keep climbing. That's right.
Man, that's right. That's awesome.
So I would say to anyone listening to this, if you're in the middle, find someone who's either gone through it and ask them. I'd also say acknowledge you're in the middle. It's okay.
Yeah.
And know that it's tough. It isn't going to last forever. The middle doesn't last forever. It just doesn't. That's the one blessing we have,
because
it doesn't last forever.
Yeah.
But find somebody or grab some people around you and just be honest with them.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm in the middle. I'm struggling. Here's where I think I'm going, but here's what I'm dealing with. And just have them, you know. And so, again, you have to grab people because they, just in their DNA as a humans, we just don't celebrate that. And so people aren't going to go, hey, you're in the middle. Let's go. Let's help you out. You might have to reach out and grab some people and say, yeah, I'm in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And celebrate. The one thing that's helped me as I kind of work through this middle is celebrating the little wins, you know.
Yeah.
Look, we got this client. Awesome. We did a record month. That's great. You know, recognizing those things and celebrating can help, because, you know, I mean, all too often you get something to celebrate and then 2 weeks later there's something to mourn about. But that's what the middle is. It's up and down. It's up and down. And, you know, I've seen these graphics online where it's, you know, here's what people think success looks like, and it's a straight line up and to the right, and then what reality looks like, and it's just squigglies all over the place. But if you keep going, you end up in the same spot, and you've learned a lot along the way. So, really cool. Thanks, man, for the time. I appreciate it. I know I've learned a lot. I always do when we have conversations.
Same
it's
here.
Awesome. So
yeah, I really appreciate your insight as well. And again, I think your expertise of how to deal with the middle is good to continue to see what is going well. And so it's good. Yeah, I appreciate your time.
And if people want to connect with you, where can they do that?
So I am working on a new company called Clip, KLIP. So if you want to check out clipgo.com, it's under construction. It's new.
All right.
But my idea is to have a bunch of different business clips, just because I think that who I am, I enjoy doing multiple businesses, and you have to be okay with that. So I think I'm going to do all these different business clips. So it's KLIPGO.com, and the different clips I'll have will be listed on there. And the first one is the aerialclips.com.
Okay.
You can check that out. That's live.
Cool.
And showing my drone capabilities and trying to have some fun with that.
Cool. Awesome stuff.
Great.
Thanks, man.
Thanks.